His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has asked us to begin the program in his absence. He'll be coming within a few minutes. And the program will be a continuation of this morning's program of devotees asking questions. Will it be someone who will be asking questions? Chinani Vasprabhu has a question already in his hand, so we can begin.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namasti Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nivashisha Shunyavari Paschat Chadeshatari. This is a question about the qualification to go back to Godhead. Is it necessary to achieve bhava, prema, to go back to the spiritual world? Or is it possible to go back by chanting Hare Krishna, following regular principles, even though we may not achieve prema bhakti at the time of death? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one whose consciousness is fixed on me at the time of death, he comes back home to me. In that, he doesn't state that one must have developed prema. He's saying that one who's thinking of me at the time of leaving his body. The idea that it's expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna, that verse, Tatinupamkam verse, when it says that person who goes on suffering in this material world, seeing everything is coming as a result of his previous activities. But he is sold out to Krishna. He knows he's the eternal servant of Krishna. And he will always be the eternal servant of Krishna, despite the circumstances which are coming according to his previous activities. He still will worship the Lord as his life and soul, as his heart. He said that person, simply because of his consciousness, his attitude of understanding that he's the eternal servant of Krishna, and he won't forget that under any circumstance, simply by his attitude, he goes back home, back to Godhead. Doyabak, Mukti Doyabak. He goes back home just as for the son to inherit the family treasures, his only qualification is, if he's a good son, of course, his only qualification is he has to stay alive before the father dies. If the father dies and he's still alive, then naturally he will inherit the father's property. So his only qualification is he has to stay alive. So similarly, Lord Brahma is making a similar statement, that his only qualification is understanding his situation as the eternal servant of Krishna. So it's the consciousness behind that Krishna is seeing. It's not mechanical. The consciousness has to be there, that one has to be simply sold out to Krishna, that's all. Symptoms or no symptoms. So this is our situation in the material world. We're a society, We're preaching in big, big cities, not so conducive. You could go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, nicer atmosphere. But the devotees, they're preaching all around the world. And because their attitude, their conscience, they simply want to please Lord Chaitanya by spreading his mission. The idea is that they want to satisfy Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha and Krishna. That they're doing, you know, even in big, big cities. It's not that one has to be in Vrindavan, attain his swarup, attain prem. The thing is that when you get your swarup, your spiritual body, when you get back to the spiritual world, when you're associating with Krishna, you've got all the different perfections. What is the purpose of all that? It's simply to please Radha and Krishna. And that you can do right now by your service. It's not a question of what form you've got, what service you've got, and all these different qualifications. The purpose of all that is simply to please Radha and Krishna. And you can do that in New York City, Bombay City, Pune City, by pleasing Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha and Krishna. So the thing that's not going to change is your consciousness. So Krishna says, what your consciousness is fixed on, when you leave your body, that state you will attain without fail. So if you're just sold out to serving Krishna, where will your next birth be? Because that place where they're always serving Krishna doesn't exist in the material world. So that you go back to home, back to Godhead. So this is the idea that one who is initiated in the bona fide sampradaya, who has received the Yuga Dharma, the holy mantra, and is practicing it, he's perfectly situated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jiva Srupa Nitya Krishna Das. We understand we are the servant, or the servant of the servant of the servant. And we are in that position. We're putting ourselves in that position right now. You're perfectly situated. You are the eternal servant of Krishna, and you've got Krishna's service. You've got Radha and Krishna's service by spreading them, expanding the Krishna consciousness movement, which is the desire of Radha and Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So factually, there's nothing else to be achieved. That is your perfection. So as I said this morning, then from when your consciousness is fixed like that, yes, you go back to Godhead. Then you associate with all the eternal associates of the Lord. Because prem can only be given by the eternal associates of the Lord, because they're the people who have it. So you have to associate with it and get it from them personally. It's not by your hard work or by your endeavor that you will get any of these perfections. They're all awarded by a personality who has got them. So the idea is that we're not depending on our own endeavors to achieve even knowledge or prema or all these different perfections in spiritual life. You can never know Krishna. We can never know Krishna by our own endeavor. We shouldn't become dependent or over-dependent on our own intelligence or our own abilities. That is not the way. No, Krishna is only satisfied when he sees the attitude of the devotee. That satisfies Krishna, regardless of the symptoms are there or not. So this is what is going to please Krishna, is our attitude. Then everything will be taken care of by the parampara, by Krishna, and then it's quite easy to go back to Godhead. Krishna is not speaking Bhagavad Gita or any shastra to make it difficult for us to go back to Godhead. It's not a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. You've got to get it together, you've got to get so much knowledge, you've got to be so expert, you've got to work it all out. Krishna is speaking so simply in the Bhagavad Gita. He wants us to come back more than anything in the world. He wouldn't make a big complicated thing about it. So it's nothing very difficult. He's making it very, very simple, as simple as possible, as simple as we want to take it. Because the purpose is to get us back to him. Just like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives that explanation, his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He says to Arjuna, the Lord is situated in your heart. Surrender unto him utterly, and by his grace you will achieve the supreme goal. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said Krishna actually finished speaking Gita at that point. To surrender to the Lord within the heart. Then Arjuna, now he's in a dilemma. He's just heard all these topics from Krishna, all different types of yoga, Jnana yoga, Sthanda yoga, Karma yoga, Bhakti yoga, different types of religion, Varnashram system, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of sannyas, Akshayag. So many branches of knowledge. And Arjuna, now he's telling Arjuna, he should surrender to him, the Lord in the heart. He's got to work it all out. He's on a battlefield also. And he's got to get all that together that Krishna spoke and puzzled and tried to accept something of what Krishna is saying, although he's spoken so many branches of knowledge and religion. So Arjuna is perplexed at this point. And Krishna is seeing Arjuna is perplexed. And I'm the cause of Arjuna's perplexity. I spoke all these different branches of knowledge to Arjuna. And look, now I'm the person who put my best friend into all these perplexities. Krishna's actually crying, there's tears in his eyes. Because Arjuna is his best friend. He doesn't want to see him like this in a perplexed state. And he's looking at Arjuna with so much devotion. What have I done to my friend? I've spoken all these things and now he has to decide what to do. So then Krishna, it just pours out of Krishna's heart just by seeing his friend in that condition. Oh Arjuna, just always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your obeisances. Man manam avabhavato. Become my devotee. Sarvadhanam parityaj. Forget all the things I said about you, what I've been speaking to you, Arjuna, all those dharmas. Give all those dharmas up. It's simply got you in perplexity. Just surrender unto me. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. I'll give myself to you completely, Arjuna. You, Arjuna, and you exclusively. You alone. I promise you this. You're my such dear friend, Arjuna. This is what Krishna is saying. He doesn't want to make it difficult for anyone to come back to Godhead. So therefore, he speaks the essence and wants us to get that essence. But if we have still attachments to the material world, okay, then here is Jnana Yoga, here is Karma Yoga, here is the process of knowledge, here is the Varnashram system. But if you want to go back to Godhead, like Krishna wants us to go back, then he's just clearing the way like anything. Just come to me, completely depend on me, surrender to me. You don't need anything else. So Krishna is seeing the attitude of the devotee who wants, if you want to go, you can go. But if you don't want to go, then okay, then you can stay. And Krishna will fulfill your desire. But he himself, he doesn't want to make it at all difficult. So we are speaking of prema and things like such exalted topics. Bhava, who's even on that platform? So how are we ever going to achieve this in this lifetime? But still Krishna's, no. By your attitude, I'll give you the necessary qualification. So this is Krishna's kindness. He wants us to go back home more than we do. So he, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's given us a very, very simple process. And if we simply accept that point, that we are simply servants of the servant of the servant, and we're serving under any condition, you're perfectly situated. This is exactly the same consciousness they have in the spiritual world. They just want to satisfy Krishna. And that is your qualification for going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I'm just reading out this question from the slip. It's not my personal question. If we have a problem that we want help with, but it's too sinful and embarrassing, how do we gain confidence to reveal our minds to senior devotees?
Who's that for?
This is general, anyone can reply.
Well, only one can speak at a time.
Chandramouli Maharaj, you can, if it's possible for you, you can choose to.
Repeat the question. Nice and clear and loud.
If we have a problem that we want help with, but it's too sinful or embarrassing, how do we gain confidence to reveal our mind to senior devotees?
We have a problem, it's too sinful and embarrassing.
Yeah.
How do we gain that confidence which helps us to reveal our minds? Well, first you have to see that you need help. So therefore, you have to do it. The confidence also is something that more or less depends on the person. In other words, you can't reveal your mind to everyone. You have to reveal your mind to someone who you know will, you can trust, and who can help you. So I think the first stage is to try to understand who's that person. And I think in our Krishna consciousness movement, as a principle of devotional society, everyone should have someone who they can come to for advice, for consultation, for direction, for dealing with problems, and even something as severe as, you know, overcoming maybe a fall down or an embarrassing situation. In the case of where your spiritual master is still personally present, then I think you don't have anything to worry about, because you can always trust your spiritual master. So that should be the first consideration. Let me go to my spiritual master. Now, in the case where there's your spiritual master is not personally present, or maybe we even in not accessible, then one should go to someone who they can trust, who is qualified by their understanding to answer. But I think one of the most important principles of this is that we have to have a desire to become helped, and by that desire, if we actually really, really feel that this problem is a matter of what we say life and death, something that we have to overcome in order to make progress, in order to clear our mind, to free ourselves from the anxiety that we're experiencing, to understand the situation from a broader perspective or a more correct perspective. We have to come forward. But I think in presenting that to the person, one has to be somewhat repentant, somewhat sorry. That's important. Because if you done something wrong, and if you want to find a person who will somewhat smooth over the fact that maybe it's not so bad, if you're looking for that, then you may not ultimately help you in dealing with the problem. So I would say the first thing to do is go to your spiritual master. And if the spiritual master is not present, someone who is in a position of shiksha. And just reveal your mind in confidence. Humbly, without pretense, without any preconceived notions of what they might say. You know, free your mind from that. Because if you have a whole idea of like, well, if they say this, what will I do? If they don't say this, how will I react? You just have to be like a blank slate, ready to be written upon. Open your heart. Because really, there's nothing that bad except the idea that we think it's okay. In other words, there's no sin that cannot be forgiven. There's no transgression that cannot be rectified, as long as we have the proper attitude of humility and a desire to change. So I think that humility, the desire to change, and the desire to willing to accept whatever comes by way of correction or reprimand. So I think one of the preliminary principles is pray. Pray to the Lord, pray to your spiritual master for help. I think sometimes devotees don't understand the power of prayer, how powerful it is. Sometimes we think we just got to position ourselves a little better or do something different and everything will be okay. That's also a material conception. A lot of times we just have to pray to the Lord, please save me, please help me. Please guide me. I can't do it. And then when we sincerely pray like that, we start to see that the mercy comes in different forms.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Pankajagra Prabhu. In the initial days, process of bhakti feels very simple. And we are very happy and enthusiastic to practice devotional service. We are very humble and submissive also. But after a few years, everything just changes. And it becomes opposite. We commit offenses, point out faults, criticize devotees, so many anarthas, popping up, troubling us like anything. So what sadhaka should do? How can we become again like we were in the initial days, humble and simple?
It's called familiarity breeds contempt. You take it for granted, the association of devotees. But when you first come, we appreciate, even before we come, we appreciate the value of the association of devotees. So much so that sometimes we want to become a devotee, we want to live with the devotees. Because there's a great distinction when you're before your devotee and for the devotees themselves. So when we aspire to be like them, we can see such a difference. But when we live with them, that difference closes. We start to think, oh, we are devotees also, we're wearing tilak, we're wearing kunti, we're performing the same activities. So that the humility should be nourished kept from the very beginning. See, as in the example of the temple, when the devotee joins and the new bhaktas, they don't have any position, right? The new bhaktas, they just do what they're told. Everyone is superior, so everyone is Prabhu. They're pure devotees at that time. Don't question anyone, because they don't know anything. But Srila Prabhupada says, so the first 6 months is blissful. No responsibility. You just do what you're told. But after you become a little used to that idea, then you start to become a little intelligent. Oh, this devotee, he's got that position, he gets that facility. Maybe if I had this position, I would get this facility. And we start to, the mind starts to come into it. So that's a problem. But in the very beginning, when there's none of that, that's why it's so blissful. You're the newest devotee. That means you're the lowest. Everyone is Prabhu, everyone is senior, and you treat everyone like that. We should try to. We have to learn the art of trying to stay in that position. To see that everyone as senior. That I know what's in my heart. I don't know what's in your heart. But whatever it is in your heart is not as bad as what's in my heart. That's for sure. So therefore, I should always respect other people in any whatever the position is. Should give respect to everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recommended in the Shishashtikam. So I would say that it's due to that. Becoming familiar, I would say that was the first fall down. Becoming familiar, and identifying yourself as a devotee, and like this, instead of a servant of a devotee. I would say this is maybe we should go back to that, find out where we deviated from that point, and start again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is for Pankajangri Prabhu. Jinnanivas Prabhu. With respect to interactions and association with devotees, what is the difference between protecting one's false ego and protecting one's self-respect? It is essential to protect self-respect amongst devotees, as sometimes one may get hurt.
What was that last one?
Is it as essential to protect self-respect amongst devotees, as sometimes one may get hurt?
What was the first part again?
With respect to interactions and association with devotees, what is the difference between protecting one's false ego and protecting one's self-respect?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says one shouldn't expect respect for himself. He should respect others, should not accept respect for himself. So, according to that principle, if you're expecting some respect to maintain your what word did he use? It's protecting self-interest, and it seems like another aspect of false ego. Seems like they're both aspects of false ego.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Chandramali Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
The question I am asking is not connected to today's topic, but something general. How to get rid of parental pressure? That is, sometimes you want to associate, chant, stop onion and garlic. Your parents are against it. How to get rid of it, and how to make them Krishna conscious?
Certain things fall into the category of impossible. at least by definition, anyway. Changing parents is not an overnight thing. Sometimes It takes years, and sometimes it never happens. And so, I think we have to respect them as parents, of course. We shouldn't disrespect. Prabhupada said you should respect your parents, but respect doesn't mean to accept sinful or, what we say, activities that are contrary to Krishna consciousness. So they may not understand. In many cases they don't, because they have a certain, just like we just had to play. How is it, even though he was the father of a great soul, still he couldn't understand the position of his son wanting to take sannyas. This is a common feature of parental, position, that they have a certain outlook. Sometimes it's pious and sometimes it's impious. But if it's not Krishna conscious, then very gently and but very without compromise, one should stick to the principles of Krishna consciousness. They may or may not understand. Now, if you're living with your parents at home, it makes it doubly hard. But I've known many devotees who have been in that situation and somehow have persevered despite the pressure and actually became stronger in their devotional service. I think each one of us who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement have had similar situations. But just stick to your principles, but at the same time respect your parents. Don't have to agree with them, but at least you can respect them. And gradually, one of the things that I see that changes parents is that when they actually see that this Krishna consciousness movement is actually making my child a better person. He's not taking drugs, he's not engaging in nonsense and illicit activities, he's actually becoming a better person. Intelligent parents, or at least not only intelligent, but persons who are just somewhat have common sense, can see this is a good thing. So sometimes you have to prove just by perseverance, and over a period of time things change. But if it becomes impossible, then I think you have to resort to more severe measures, such as considering the fact after with some advice, maybe moving on from that association. So it's not a simple answer, but don't compromise. If you compromise, you won't be happy, your parents won't be happy in the long run. If you surrender to Maya, it's not worth it. I know many devotees who've written me have similar situations. I just tell them, respect them as a person, don't offend them, but at the same time, don't compromise your Krishna consciousness on any level. Because as soon as you do, you'll feel unhappy, and they ultimately won't gain anything from that. By you sticking to your Krishna consciousness, you actually have a chance to make them Krishna conscious too. And that's important.
Hare Krishna. In Kali Yuga, the way of deliverance from the material world is only by chanting of Hare Krishna. Then why is it necessary for aarti, worship, etc.? If only Hare Krishna Mahamantra is enough, then I think that this type of ritual is only a waste of time.
Very advanced devotee. Just chant Hare Krishna, we have our full blessings. You don't have to worry about worshipping the deity. Just simply chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Hare Krishna. If you can't do it, come to the temple and join in the program. That's all. Well, how can you answer a question? That's perfection. Person only likes to chant Hare Krishna. That's Bhagavat Maharaj. Deity worship is Pancharatri, you did it. Bhagavat takes precedence. Go ahead, do it. Perfection. If you can't do it, come and join us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is for His Grace Jinani Vas Prabhu.
Good.
The tendency in devotional service is to be in the front, or attachment to those services which will give profit, adoration, and will satisfy our ego. So it happens that because of that tendency, we don't realize that we are insignificant servant in the hands of Guru. So how to realize that we are insignificant servant in the hands of Guru?
Well, that is the whole process of Krishna consciousness. It's a practice and involves all the different practices for this purpose of this process of sadhana. It's for a purpose of putting ourselves in the position we are insignificant, servant of the servant of the servant. There was once one devotee, he wouldn't pay his obeisances when everybody else was paying obeisances. They're doing the Prem Diwani, Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahans. He wouldn't pay his obeisances, and so the devotees, this is when Prabhupada very first went to America. So devotee, why are you not paying your obeisances? He said, well, it just doesn't feel natural. And I don't want to be artificial. I came here to be, you know, myself. And I have no feeling, you know, for bowing down and doing these rituals. I have no feeling for it. So therefore, it'll be unnatural. So better that I don't do it, better I stay. To be natural than unnatural. So devotees, they didn't know how to answer him. So they asked Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, he said that you pay your obeisances anyway. He said, and then it will begin to feel natural. But if you never pay your obeisances, forever it will remain unnatural. So by constantly paying your obeisances, then you will actually get a feeling, this is natural. So the same idea is there, by constantly performing these activities in sadhana bhakti, then that real feeling will come for it. It won't be artificial, and it won't be done out of prestige or anything. That the genuine feeling will come, but in the beginning we may have prestige and want recognition, but that's a very, very good thing. That I want recognition, I want to be praised, okay. So let me get recognition as a devotee. Let me get recognition as being a devotee. Otherwise, I'd be out in the material world trying to get recognition. So it's a very good thing from that angle of vision. It's there anyway in the heart. The ahankara is there anyway, but at least it's coming out in relation to Krishna. It's a very good thing as a start. One devotee, Dinanath Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, fantastic kirtan leader. Remember Dinanath? Black. Fantastic. He was a musician. He was just a natural, beautiful voice, so soulful. He would just sing and chant. And he was in India in the early 70s, and he was so good. Srila Prabhupada said, to him, he said, your kirtan is very, very nice, Dinanath Prabhu. And he said, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. He said, but sometimes I feel proud when I'm doing kirtan. And Prabhupada said, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You're chanting Hare Krishna, what's wrong with feeling proud about it? Like, it's always supposed to be doing. The pride is there, it's going to come out anyway. At least give it to Krishna. Then the whole transaction will take place. And then it won't be artificial, it won't be done for one's own aggrandizement. It'll be done for Krishna. But in the beginning it's there. What else can you do? Better to do it with those seemingly faults. And they will be cleaned by the process of sadhana bhakti. Then it will be done in a pure fashion. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. When we listen to the lecture, we think that we will control our anger. But actually when the circumstance arises, we become angry. How can we control the anger at that situation? We forget all the philosophical knowledge at that time.
Yeah, anger makes you forget. Jayato visayam pumsam tesu sangasa jayate sangasa jayate kama kama krodha vijayate krodha bhavati samoham samoham sriti bribama sriti bramsa buddhinasa buddhinasa panashati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment from them. From attachment comes lust, and from lust comes anger. From anger, delusion, from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material energy. The process of falling down is described in these two verses in Bhagavad Gita from the second chapter. So, contemplating the objects of the senses, we want some sense gratification. And when we don't get the sense gratification, or some satisfaction, or something that doesn't go our way, we become angry. So what is the antidote for that? Detachment. Detachment from sense gratification. So what is the preliminary stage of developing detachment from sense gratification? Is that one has to develop knowledge. So therefore one has to apply the knowledge in all circumstances. So in our beginning stages, we're still subjected to what we say are attachments. Therefore, devotee is conscious and cautious. Devotee is not artificially spontaneous. Don't try to be spontaneous when you're not. So therefore, devotee is always carefully controls speech, carefully controls activity. So when you see a situation arises where your attachments start to become, what we say, challenged, or you start to feel yourself, and you have to start to reflect and pull back and start to, you know, take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of the Lord, take shelter of the knowledge that has been given. But the tendency is that still, as long as we have these material desires, we're subject to situations to bring them out. So we have to be very careful. The best and the most safest way is to always remember Krishna. But even that is something that comes after a long series of practices and purifications. So therefore, one has to be very careful. So to control the mind and senses is this preliminary stage for practicing devotional service successfully. If one slips, then one can catch themselves and pull back before it becomes an offense. So, you know, the scriptures also talk about two aspects of dealing with problems. One is the purification, and one is the noticing the problem and dealing with it from a day-to-day process. We have to do both. We have to become purified by chanting and associating with devotees, reading these books, attending the programs. At the same time, we also have to be aware of our material attachments and not allow those attachments to pull us into an activity which will be offensive or will put us into a difficult state. Devotee's careful. Careful in speech, careful in action. But even before that, be careful in thought. If you're careful in thought, then speech and action will be conducive to whatever you're thinking. So if you're thinking of sense gratification, then you know you're going to be subject to anger. I mean, we can speak a lot of this. One of the qualities of a devotee is simplicity. Simplicity means without expectations. As long as we have expectations, we expect things. We expect people to be nice to us. We expect people to honor us. We expect. And therefore, we don't get our expectations met. We become angry or we lament or do something negative. Don't expect anything. Just try to give. If we're always in the mood of service, then we're not in the mood of trying to receive something. We're in the mood of trying to give something. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. To Pankajangre Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Being brothers, did you ever face with a situation where both of you had different opinions? And both of you thought individually that the other was wrong?
You're asking both of them or one of them?
Pangajangripur. How do you deal with each other when there is difference of opinion? And who gets an upper hand in these situations?
You have to ask both of them. It's not fair.
The answer to the first one is yes. The answer to the second one is yes. And the answer to the third one is generous. When we were about 10 years old, 10 to 12 years old, we used to have a fight every day without fail. It was our sadhana. We would wake up in the morning and we had to have a fight. And until one cried. And then when the other one cries, then the one who made him cry has to be really careful, because then it means he's going to get angry, and then it's going to get serious. It's not serious before, it was just, but if he's angry, he may get serious, you may get a few gushes, a few. So then the other one, to save getting some real punishment, he would let himself get caught by the other one in some hold, and then he would start crying, and the other one would feel, okay, now I made him cry. So this was our daily routine. And for a few years. And I guess that settled all our differences. After that, we never had any quarrel, never ever any differences. I guess we got rid of it all of that during those few years. After that, we didn't have any problem. The devotees say, how come your brothers always fight, but we never saw you fighting? So I guess we used up all that when we were young boys, we fought every day, for a few years. Used all of that propensity of
fighting with brothers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. To Jananivas Prabhu. Hare Krishna. While doing deity worship, we used to worship with ghee lamp 4 times to feet, 2 times to the belly, 3 times to the face, and 7 times to the body, or agarbatti 7 times, etc. The body of the Lord or other items are worshipped in a specific number. So what is the significance behind these numbers?
I don't know the significance behind the number of circles, etc. You're offering in arati. There are different scriptures and there's different numbers of circles also. The Vishnu Jamala says offer 7 times all the articles and different. Generally only the lamp. The lamp is considered the most prominent thing in the arati ceremony. And that different scriptures give different circles, 4 to the feet, 2 to the waist, 3 to the face, and 7 to the whole body. And generally, outside of the lamp, they don't give specific instructions. So, Srila Prabhupada also said, he said a few things also in different times. And if you see that film of Prabhupada, he's offering arti, I think to Krishna and Balaram, he seems to be offering to every limb of the body. And in fact, he told Jayapataka Maharaj that you can offer to every limb of the body. He also said offered 7. So in the Pancharatrika Pratik, the GBC authorized standard of worship in ISKCON, they just settled for some number, just to systemize it. Prabhupada said he wanted deity worship systemized. But it doesn't seem a big factor, the amount of numbers of circles or anything. And so they come to a conclusion. Mostly it's 7 times and the lamp is 4, 2, 3, 7. But apart from that, I don't know and I haven't seen any significance for the different numbers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This question is to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. How should we react when we are chastised by our authorities in our service to Krishna? Generally, I become bewildered and discouraged. Thus, please guide me. Sometimes I think that I am right, but my authority misunderstood me. Sometimes I think that I am right, and it is the authority who has misunderstood me.
I'm not your authority, but I think I misunderstand you. Our purpose is to make spiritual progress. If we take chastisement in a proper spirit, we become humble. We seriously contemplate how I can improve the quality of my character and my devotional service. If we are defensive, we miss the opportunity. If we're submissive, even if the authority may be misunderstanding you, still you make great progress by learning in the situation. If the authority is trying to exploit you, or is trying to guide you in a way that's against the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, then we should not accept. But if the authority is trying to engage us in Krishna's devotional service, and there's nothing against religious principles in what he's speaking or she's speaking, whether we're understood or misunderstood is not really important. Saint Francis of Assisi, in his prayer, he said, "My Lord, I seek not to be understood, but to understand." What is critical is how we grow spiritually and how we progress in that particular situation. And that takes place when we're submissive, not when we're defensive. I would like to speak an example of somebody who was not necessarily misunderstood by a Krishna conscious authority, but somebody who persevered with faith even though he was grossly misunderstood by another type of authority. Somewhere way in the back is an extraordinary devotee named Bharadraj Prabhu from Ukraine. Can you please stand up, Bharadraj Prabhu? Everyone look way, way back. There he is. I'd like to say something about how he was misunderstood. He was one of the original devotees who dedicated his life to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission behind the Iron Curtain during the communist regime in Russia and Ukraine. Not only was he strictly following the principles of Krishna consciousness, which was against the law of the state, but he was preaching enthusiastically underground and bringing more and more people to engage in this highly illegal activity of chanting the Maha Mantra.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
He was honest, simple, humble, respectful. The only law he was breaking was he was spreading the holy name of Krishna. He was arrested by the KGB and the communist government 50 times over a period of 10 years. He was put in prisons, persecuting him. They sent him to be a prisoner in mental insane asylums, where they experimented with dangerous, debilitating drugs that affect the mind and the body. He was in several of those hospitals and tortured in this way. And yet, every time he was released, he went out to distribute Prabhupada's books underground to preach Krishna consciousness to more and more people. Now, he did not know that the communist government would end. When we look back, we could think he was doing it, just hold out until, 1999 or whatever it was, and then it will end, and then, 89? What year was it? 89? He didn't know that. As far as he was concerned, the communist government was so powerful, he was willing to go on being arrested, persecuted, imprisoned, and tortured for the rest of his life to spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's movement and to induce more and more people to chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
He was seriously misunderstood by authorities, not temple authorities, government authorities. They considered him a threat to the state. But actually, he was trying to simply spread love of God in the state. Let us all express our sincerest honor and gratitude to Bharadwaj Prabhu for the example he has set for all of us. So, my dear friends, when your counselor or temple authority misunderstand you, it is not all that bad. Just learn from the experience and grow. I am finished.
Hare Krishna. I am very proud of my abilities.
No, I just answered.
And therefore I cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. Please explain.
Isn't it your turn?
Janani Vaspri. Janani Vaspri.
I could just for you. See, it's another qualification. We're getting so many questions. Qualification. But what do Gaurnath I see? And Prabhupada see when we're approaching, you know. I'm supposed to be your humble servant, Janani Vastas. I'm full of calm, I'm full of crowd, law of anger, lust, greed. I've got so many bad qualities. What are they thinking? We know that. We know better than you. This is how I am. Yes, and this is who we want. We want you as you are, right now. So whatever you've got, just come, give everything to us. Come to us right now. Don't worry about your qualification, trying to get purified from all these different things. Just as you are, this is how we want you right now. Accept our service as you are now. This is what they're saying. There's a letter from Srila Prabhupada. One devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to make an intense study of your books. And when I've got that down, then I can go out and I can really preach. I'll really be able to get through to the people because I'll have so much knowledge, I'll have so much conviction, I'll have so much realization. Then it'll be so good for my preaching. And Prabhupada said, if you wait for that purification of knowledge, he said, you'll never go out and preach. If you're waiting for that time to come when you get this purification of knowledge, he says, you won't go out and preach. In other words, you spend your whole life doing it. So this is Krishna consciousness. I think he gave the same example to Jadurani Mataji. She was an artist. In the beginning, she was kind of simple. And Prabhupada said that she wanted to be, you know, turn out some masterpieces, you know, some Rembrandts or something like that. And Prabhupada said, no, he said, you're an artist. He said, whatever you can do right now, you do that for Krishna. He said, you're not, a fantastic artist. But if you wait until you become, one of the masters of art, he said, then you may miss Krishna consciousness in that time. You may have gone by then. So whatever you've got now, just use in Krishna's service. This is the kind of idea behind it. It's qualification. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is for Chandramani Maharaj. It's been almost 8 to 9 years in my devotional service. I love all the devotees, the process of devotion, but I really don't understand why I don't have taste for reading books. Just to help with the question, I would just give a brief information. I used to not like reading much in my school or college days. Is it something like conditioning or so? Please help me to develop taste and fixed determination to read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly.
How to develop taste for reading the books? Well, I mean, practically speaking, I've been asked this question many times. Pick a section of Prabhupada's books you like. Look for a pastime or something that interests you and start there. Begin where find something that interests you, some pastime, some aspect of the books, of the philosophy, and start there. It's not that. I was asked this question, do I have to start from the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam and go verse by verse all the way through to the 10th canto? Oh, I'll never do it. I said, don't worry, just pick something. Do something, start, read. So, just find something you like, I mean, that interests you. And then, once you start reading that, and the taste for reading comes by reading. That's one of the ways. There's many ways you can develop your taste. But that's one way. As you purify your chanting, your reading, your desire to read and to hear will also increase. Take part in, you know, coming together with a few devotees and read together. Little groups of devotees just sitting and reading together. We should do that more as a society. So if that's your desire, it can happen if you just persevere in the right way.
Thank you, Maharaj. Pankajanga Prabhu. Maharaj, we hear so many qualities that we should develop in devotional service, overcoming the anartha. But when we want to apply them in our day-to-day life, we fail in such a bad way that we forget that completely and think that it is not my cup of tea. So how one should approach to advance in spiritual life and develop newer and newer devotional qualities?
There are no new devotional qualities. They're as old as the hills. Devotional qualities are intrinsic of the living entity. They're the eternal qualities of the living entity. It's pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. It's just that we're so attached to Maya and we've forgotten all about that, that we take this Mayic existence as a reality and our attachments in this material world as important. So the process of Krishna consciousness for the conditioned soul is 180 degrees. You've got to turn completely around. That's why it's difficult. And that's why the karmis and the ganas and they can't do it. It's 100%. You've got to... Instead of... They're doing everything for themselves. And the devotional path is you do everything for Krishna. In other words, Krishna is the most important thing, in truth. And we are created for His... to assist in His pleasure. To assist in His... whatever He does is important. So we are created to assist in that importance in His pastimes, in His activities. But in the material world, we're taking His position. Our mentality is we want His position. That's why we're here. So now we have to reverse. Instead of doing everything I do for myself, I put Krishna in that position. Let me now do it for Krishna. But because the mind sometimes doesn't like that, because the mind is the king of the senses. And the mind has been in control or out of control for hundreds of births, leading us all around the universe in different bodies, for untold births, so we've heard in the scripture. So the mind is the king. The king is not easy to... You can't say to the king, just by your intelligence, look, we've been following you for a long time, and we've ended up in another material body in the material universe. Why don't we accept the advice of the sages? Why don't we accept the advice of Krishna? So you should step down from your position of what you think is right and what you think is wrong and accept someone else's. So you kindly get off the throne, and you know, the king is not about to do that, you see. So if you tell the king to do that, what will he do, huh? So that was what you mean by conditioned soul. You don't so stubbornly want to hang on to that position of being in control. So stubborn. Huh? Therefore, this is Bhaktivinoda knows. Thakur says the conditioned soul simply makes an ass of himself, carrying this heavy burden of the body and all of the things related to it, around traveling, carrying one around the universe. All unnecessary. Simply because of that adamancy to surrender to Krishna. No, I'll do it. I will show I can do it by myself. So these anarthas, these setbacks are for that purpose. To tell us you're not the controller, you're not the enjoyer. Don't try to imitate. Krishna told you right in the beginning. He says the place, all this whole place, Abraham, Bhuvan, top to bottom, it's a place of suffering. Krishna says that. He created it. And he created it like that. But we think, no, I'm special. Somehow or other, that applies to everyone but not me. We believe what Krishna says, but somehow or other, by my endeavor, I can find my way through and be comfortable. Right? So everyone is doing that. So that's... And, of course, you're up against Maya. You're up against Durga. It's you and Durga. And Durga is Shiva Shakti. Insurmountable. Lady Shivanamai, not possible. And she has this threesoul. Ariatmik, Aridevik, Aribaltik. Get back, get back, get back. Get back, get back, get back to Krishna. She's giving this poking. Get back, get back, get back. That's her service. Go back to Krishna. Don't fool around in me. I have a husband already. You can't enjoy me. Get back, get back, get back. And you can't compete with Lord Shiva. And she's very chaste. Sakti. So this is what it's called illusion. You're trying to enjoy something that is impossible for you to enjoy. You're trying to control something that's impossible for you to control. So that's what it means. You get over this anatta nirriti. The material body, the material life means anatta. You're not going to get over it. You're in it. This isn't anatta. So the idea is to after we're tired of being beaten down, we should come to our senses that I'm not the controller. Actually, I'm not the controller. All these questions are saying, how can I control? Most of these questions, right? I'm having this problem, how can I control it? You can't control it. That is it. You can endeavor. You can endeavor to follow the instructions of Krishna and the spiritual master. That's all you can do. How they work, that's another thing. Krishna says you can work. But the result depends, not the result doesn't depend on your work. The result depends on me. But because we think it depends on my activities, and I'm doing everything properly, and then there's so many obstacles coming, why is that? Why is that? Oh, that's the teachers. We still have to give up that mentality. You're going to get old, you're going to get sick, and you're going to die. What's the use of trying to stop, prevent that? It's a dream. It's going to happen. It's a reality. So everything is an obstacle. in spiritual life, in the material world. It's not, you don't come here to serve Krishna, you come here to forget Krishna. So when you take up this, to the your real consciousness of trying to serve Krishna, it means 100%. It means you're swimming upstream. And swimming upstream is tough. You can't stop. As soon as you stop, you go back. It's a relentless task. That's the material world, but that's what we're in. You can't win. You can't quit, and you can't break even. Hare Krishna. It's like it. The material world. So just accept our position that we're actually insignificant. That's your position. We're insignificant against material energy. We have no potency. With spiritual life, we don't know, haven't got a clue. Only what we've heard. We don't know. What is spirit? Who can say? What is spirit? We don't have a clue. Right? Only what you've heard. We're only going on what we've heard. But we don't have that. Where's the realization? So to spiritual, we don't have any clue. And material, we also don't have any clue. How it's all conducted by the devatas. We think we're doing everything, but they're doing everything. So either way, this is the condition of the soul. So if we study Prabhupada's books, we'll understand all these problems will gradually be resolved, that we're actually insignificant. That is the position of the conditioned soul in the material world. Insignificant. You don't have that ability. You have the ability, by Krishna's ability, you can give. You can pray for that. But to try to overcome these obstacles, you can't do it. The material body is an obstacle. Simply follow the instructions. Anything that is to be done is already there in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada's books, the rest of Prabhupada's books. Simply follow and hope. Pray that everything turns out all right. But simply that sincere endeavor to follow, that puts you in a perfect position, whether there's anarthas or not. You want to get rid of anarthas because you want it easy. You pray for Guru's mercy because you're lazy. You don't want to do it yourself. Pray for Krishna's mercy. You pray for Krishna's mercy because you don't want to do it yourself. The spiritual life means you have to do it. Doesn't mean it means, as Chandra Muli Maharaj said, the instructions are to be followed. You're hearing these things, you're asking questions. You shouldn't ask a question unless you're ready to accept that answer. Accept it means to follow it. Otherwise, don't waste time asking questions in spiritual life. This is anathas you have to live with, and there's only one way to there's nine ways to overcome them. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam. These nine devotional, there's not another thing. And it's the same process for everyone. It's not that the sannyasis have one process and the matajis have another process. No, it's the same, it's an overall process. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This question is to my beloved Guru Maharaj, his name is Radhana Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, we daily conduct the temple schedule right from Mangalarti to Guru Puja followed by Mahaarti. So after that, to please the Guru, Prabhupada and their lordships without any pinch of selfishness, Mataji asked me, that is my wife, that is when you leave the body, that is myself, my spiritual life depends on you, what I will do. I tell her, that is you are a better devotee than me, and you can carry on, but when you leave the body, I always feel that I would have lost a very good devotee. So under the circumstances, Maharaj, please give us confidence. So either one of us has to leave. So how to take about it? When she leaves, definitely I would not hesitate. I will join the Brahmacharya Ashram. But she is finding another way. If I leave the body early, and what she will do, please instill the confidence. Thank you very much.
If either of you leave, what will I do?
But ultimately, Krishna is our supreme husband, our supreme wife, our supreme father, and our supreme protector. It is Krishna that is protecting you through your wife, and Krishna protecting your wife through you. Krishna who is giving us guidance through our spiritual master. Krishna who is inspiring us through the assembled Vaishnavas. If we are sincere, we should have faith that Krishna will be there to protect us and to guide us back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Service and separation is a very deep experience of bhakti. And Krishna will be very much there in that separation. But for now, you should get along nicely. While you're both still alive. And knowing that death will come eventually, not only for one of you, for both of you, together as a partnership, as grihastas, try to do as much as humanly possible to purify your own hearts and to spread Srila Prabhupada's love to the world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Power run. Grace Janani Vas Prabhu. Sometimes we get very powerful realizations, but over a period of time, these realizations tend to go away. Also, often these realizations are the foundation for certain resolutions. So when they are no more, it's difficult to maintain the resolutions too, because that spirit, that determination is no more. What is the way to maintain these realizations?
The bhakti process, we call the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, ocean is constantly changing. It's always changing. So we should go along with the changes. Krishna consciousness is present right now, and this is the best time for our spiritual advancement. Because right now you can serve Krishna. So right now is the best time to surrender to Krishna. And in the spiritual world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he's constantly in one mood, then in another. He's a devotee, he's Krishna, he's a servant of the devotee, he's proud, he's humble, he's devastated, constantly changing. Krishna's also in his pastime with his associates. The mood is always changing. So you live whatever mood is happening. Krishna says, those who attach, who don't hate attachment,
illumination,
and so another thing, nor do they long for them, not long for them when they've gone. So even illumination, Krishna says, illumination, you shouldn't even long for it when it's gone. Because when it's gone, you have some realization, then you're trying to hang on to it, but it's already gone. That means you're living in the past, or you're trying to bring it to the future, or the present. Whereas right now, you can be engaged in service, a new thing.
So Krishna says, don't be attached to that. He's actually talking about the modes of nature there. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Don't be averse to them, don't be attached to them. Even the good, when goodness comes and enlightenment comes, when it goes, he's saying don't be attached to them. So that is the nature of everything. The spiritual world is based on that. It's moving sentiment. That's all the time. It's never one static thing. It's always movement, ecstatic. Same thing again, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, it's probably that point where he's saying that how he's everywhere, he's all pervasive, he's in everything, and we can see him like that. And Arjuna says, that's fantastic, Krishna. Your explanation, it's really a far out explanation that you're everywhere, you're present everywhere. And he said, but I have this realization now, but the nature is that this is only going to last a few days. You're speaking these very nice high realizations, but by the nature, and I appreciate it, but by nature we lose these things after a few days. The mind will go somewhere else. So that is the nature of the world. It's changing. The spiritual world is like that. That's why the material world is changing. So the idea is that we go along with the changes. And the devotional service that's present before us now, that is what is important for us. Right now. And the realizations that have gone, that we shouldn't hanker for them or no lament for them. Because when we're hankering and lamenting, we're going to the future or the past. But spiritual life is right now. So that's how it's actually happening in the spiritual world. It's constantly changing one mood to another. So like that, we should not be attached to the realizations when they start to fade away. But realize that we have an opportunity to serve Krishna right now. And that is the greatest situation to be in. There's a perfect situation. There's no better situation to be situated at the lotus feet of Guru and the Parampara. So that is our eternal situation. And so that is present right now, despite the constantly changing activities, etc. In devotional service, realizations, they're coming and going. But we remain fixed in this position of serving Krishna right now. Then that realizations will come. And anyway, they're coming by Krishna's grace realization. So if Krishna wants to give, he can give. He doesn't want to give, he won't give. But it won't stop me serving him right now. I'm just like that. So just continue to serve Krishna in this present moment with everything we got. And whatever comes and whatever goes, that's just by Krishna's mercy. Then we can remain satisfied. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is only Mr. Ramani Swami Maharaj. I don't feel appreciation for things in Krishna consciousness from the heart. My background is also that I never did anything from the heart. So is it my nature? Or if not, then how to develop appreciation from the heart towards devotees and the activities in Krishna consciousness?
Through scriptural knowledge. To understand what is this process of Krishna consciousness, how valuable and how rare association of devotees is, how this process actually is a process of mercy, how everything is really being given to us as a gift, as an act of causeless mercy. We can think like that, but we have to understand it through our intelligence, by reading books like Nectar of Devotion, which really gives us a deep understanding of the process of bhakti and the glories of bhakti. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, one should be fixed in knowledge. And through knowledge, one can apply that knowledge in a day-to-day life. And as we progress, a genuine appreciation will manifest. So that's why we have all these books. to read them, to understand them, to understand this is what we want to be like. This is what we want to understand is the truth. So the scriptural knowledge, hearing from advanced devotees, we have to hear, we have to read.
Thank you very much, Madam. His Grace Pankaja Angre Prabhu. Would you please narrate some of your recent reciprocations with Lord Narasimha Dev in Mayapur?
Yeah. But I can tell you about other people's reciprocations. Some new episodes during the MAHE Bhakti Shastri programs are going on. One devotee came from Delhi, New Delhi, studying the and he got chicken pox. So one of his black spots was coming out. Then the students told him maybe he shouldn't come to class. Maybe contagious. So he went to the doctor and they said, yes, chicken pox, contagious. 20 days isolation. Oh no. Let me go to another doctor. So he went to the homeopathic doctor. Chicken pox, contagious. He went to the Ayurvedic doctor, chicken pox, contagious, go in isolation. So he went to Nrisimhadev, dear Lord, I had harassed my mother and father so much for such a long time to come to Mayapur and study. Finally they agreed after months and months and months, and now I've come here. And Jayadvaita Maharaj is giving class, and Bhakti Chu Maharaj is giving class, and Gadana Maharaj is giving class. All these illustrious sannyasis are giving class and now I can't attend. Please deliver me. And Bhajari was giving some prasad and he went out to Sandhyati, he took some prasad and the Pujari, or the devotee distributing, called the Chokidar and said, look, and the Chokidar said, you've taken prasad, you please leave the temple. You're contagious. Woke up in the morning, took bath. All these spots washed off. One day, usually it takes months for those spots to go. One day, next day they all washed off after his prayer finishing. I'll tell you another one if you like.
Yeah.
Now that you've already joined the new Bhakta program, and then after the program, three months, then he graduated into the school preaching department. And his father came and said, you have one more year of study. Sounds familiar? You have one more year of study. Actually, you should come home and do this extra year. Then you'll have your papers and then they'll be useful later on. And your mother's really missing you. And so he was thinking, yeah, I really want to see my mom. I haven't seen her for a long time. What should I do? So he couldn't make up his mind what to do. And some of the other devotees were saying you shouldn't go, and they had different opinions. There was one devotee who met his father. His father was staying in Mayapur for a couple of days. And this devotee fell at his feet and held his feet and said, please don't take your son back to Maya. So he was very moved by that, because he's actually a Gaudiya Vaishnava himself. He's actually lived in the mat, in Gaudiya mat. So he understands the situation. So he said, now I'm even more bewildered whether to, do I want to force him back on? I'm going to leave it to Nrisimhadev. So he went to Lord Nrisimhadev and prayed, Lord, I'm leaving this. I have a dilemma here. I'm leaving it in your hands. You please help me make the right decision. Should I take my son back or not? At night, Lord Nrisimhadev appeared in a dream and was rubbing his head in his dream. My father's hands were standing on it, standing on end. And the Shingadev, my dear child, don't worry about your son. You leave him here, I'll take care of him. You go home. Radha Singh Bhagwan ki.
Hare Krishna, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. If the Dham is only considered in consciousness level, then why scriptures speak of Dham Aparadha? Why it's been given a location? What about the animals? Will they go back home, back to Godhead after leaving their present body? And how to see these animals? Why humans cannot go back to Godhead but animals? If the Dham is only considered in the consciousness level, then why scriptures speak of Dham Aparadha? Why it's been given a location, physical location? What about the animals? Will they go back home, back to Godhead after leaving their present body?
The Dham is a replica of the spiritual world. Like the example, Krishna is eternally residing in Goloka, the highest planet of the spiritual world. When he descends into this world, the holy Dham of Goloka comes with him, and that is Gokul, Vrindavan, which is none different than Vrindavan. It is called Boma Vrindavan. But just as we cannot see Krishna unless our eyes are anointed with the salve of love, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, similarly the holy Dham, which is none different than Krishna, can only be seen through a pure heart. Krishna is none different than his name. Why are we not experiencing transcendental ecstasy when we chant the holy name? Rupa Goswami prays like this: the two syllables Krishna have produced so much nectar that when I chant the name of Krishna, I desire many, many tongues. When that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. And when the name enters my heart, it conquers my entire existence and my senses become inert. That is the power of the holy name. But due to our material conceptions, our false pride, our anarthas, although we're chanting the holy names, sometimes we're falling asleep. Sometimes we're wishing it would all be over with so I could do something more interesting. That is not the fault of the name. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. It is our inability to access due to our impurities. Similarly, the deity of Krishna is none different than Krishna. If Krishna is personally waiting for you at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, why is it so hard for us to get up and go and see him? Because we're not really seeing him as he is. We're seeing him, but we're not seeing it as it is. And similarly, the holy Dham, according to the purity of our heart, According to our degree of surrender, Krishna reveals himself. According to our degree of surrender, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, these holy places reveal themselves to us. When we are not in a pure state, we understand the holy Dham through our faith in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It is Srila Prabhupada emphasized from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a symptom of Kali Yuga to go to a holy place to bathe in a river and not seek out the holy people that actually reveal the place to us. When Srila Prabhupada brought people to Vrindavan, the important thing was hearing. You cannot see. It's there before your eyes, but due to our consciousness, we cannot see it. But we see through our ears. When it is explained, when the great self-realized souls, when the acharyas are speaking through the scriptures, when the advanced devotees are speaking according to their realizations, they are revealing the real truth of the holy Dham to us. So yes, understanding the holy Dham is a state of consciousness. When we actually understand the holy Dham of Sri Vrindavan within our own hearts, then we can actually witness it and experience it. We go into these holy places. Srila Prabhupada, in his lectures and purports, often said that each one of his temples is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. Why? Because Krishna never steps a foot out of Vrindavan. If Radha Krishna are in Pune, Radha Kunja Bihari, or in Bombay is Radha Gopinath, or in Chicago is Kishore Kishori, is of course Mayapur Radha Madhava. But that is understood. They are in the holy Dham. But wherever Krishna is, that is Vrindavan. That is the realization of the Acharya. Srila Prabhupada brought Vrindavan to even the most degraded cities in the world. He revealed it to us by his mercy. Advaita Acharya said about Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Maharaj Yudhisthira said to Vidura, wherever the great saints put their lotus feet, that is all the holy places, because they carry Krishna within their heart. Wherever there's a true sadhu, all the holy places are there with him, because he carries the holy places within their heart. So yes, the holy Dham is a state of consciousness, but it is also a divine place that has a particular location, which is non-different than the spiritual world. And why do we go to those holy places? Because by associating with holy people in such holy places, the Dham is revealed within our own hearts through the purification of that experience. And if we want to actually become purified, we must guard against the offenses to the holy name. We must guard against offenses to the holy Dham. But the first offense is to offend the Vaishnavas. If you offend the Vaishnavas, you're offending the holy name, you're offending the holy Dham, you're offending God. Krishna takes an offense against a devotee more seriously than he does to his abode or even to himself. So we must be very careful. When we're chanting, we guard offenses to the holy name. When we're with the devotees, we guard against offenses to Vaishnavas. When we're doing deity worship, we guard against offenses to the deity. When we're in the holy Dham, we guard against offenses to the holy Dham. And there's a very easy way to practically automatically guard against all offenses to everyone and everything. Trinadapi sunichena tador iba sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we're trying to be humble like a grass on the ground, trying to be tolerant like a tree, we're eager to offer respect to others and not expect respect for oneself. If we are actually humble, then any superficial offense that we may commit will not be held seriously against us. But if we're proud, if we're neglectful, then offenses could have a very traumatic effect on our spiritual progress. So just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Wherever Krishna says to Narada Muni that wherever my devotees are gathered together to chant my names and glories, that is where I reside. And since Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan, wherever the devotees are gathered together to sincerely chant his names and glories, that is Vrindavan. That is Sri Mayapur Dham. That is Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. We should be conscious of that. By Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the Mafatlal Bungalow is non-different than Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the mercy of Pankajangari Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu, who always carry Radha Madhava and the Panchatattva in their hearts, they have literally brought Mayapur Dham to Pune. And just by seeing them, hearing from them, dancing with them, we are transported to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. And as far as animals, we're all animals. It is our great hope. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jharikhanda, he induced animals to chant the holy names and sent them all back home, back to Godhead. So we should consider we are those animals. But if we somehow or other remain in the holy Dham with the proper consciousness, then we will also go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Now it is time for Gaur Aarti. So let us transform Pune more and more ecstatically into the holy land of Sri Navadvip Dham. Actually, when devotees are performing Gaur Aarti and singing this beautiful song by Thakur Bhaktivinod, it is not that we are just reciting an event that took place on the bank of the Ganges 500 years ago. But if we're sincerely absorbed in this mood, we are there. We are literally participating in the pastime. Whether you know it or not, you are. But according to our purification, we realize it. Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples, "You are all liberated. You simply haven't realized it yet. Because you're serving Krishna. You're devotees. That's the liberated platform. By continually carrying on like this, we realize the position that our guru has given us. We sing the Gaur Aarti. We're actually on the bank of the Ganges in Sri Mayapur Dham. And there is Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Lord Brahma is offering aarti. Lord Shiva is is chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Narahari and Mukunda. Narahari is fanning with Chamara. Mukunda and Basu Ghosh are singing beautiful songs. Narada Muni, Shukadev Goswami, they're all there. And Bhakti Vinod is watching us. And Srila Prabhupada is smiling. It's all happening. Every time the Gaur Aarti is taking place. All we have to do is realize where we are, what we've been given. So let us chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.